This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2248. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all, shortwave. On this edition, recorded June 20th, Afghanistan, Antarctica, Asia, Canada, Chile, China, Cuba, DRM, Indonesia, Kaliningrad, Korea, North and South, Kurdistan, Mongolia, New Zealand, North America, Oklahoma, Sweden, Turkey, USA, Vanuatu, Vietnam, DX Nostalgia, LIGO Retro Radio, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Mike Cooper forwards a report from BBC Monitoring. The Taliban have suspended BBC radio broadcasts in Afghanistan's southern province of Helmand. The Kabul-based Afghan Islamic Press news agency reported 13 June. Suspension ordered by local authorities, instructing those in charge of operating BBC's FM transmitter to halt broadcasts until further notice. Reason for the ban remains unclear. BBC began broadcasting on FM in Helmand in 2006, using a transmitter in the building of the state-run radio in the provincial capital. Before the fall of the previous government, the transmitter was managed by two technicians who continued their work under the Taliban. The administration banned the broadcasting of BBC news bulletins, VOA and DW, in local languages in 2022. Ben Dawson replies, they shut down the U.S. AGM medium wave transmission from Pole Charkey a few months ago. It was surprising they continued it as long as they did. Stephen Luce replies, the BBC still has a lot of shortwave beamed into Afghanistan, which is why the Oman relay station will likely remain in operation for the foreseeable future. That was Afghanistan and non, and now Antarctica non. If you're hearing this World of Radio as soon as possible, it's not too late to remind you of the annual midwinter broadcast of BBC to Antarctic bases. Friday, June 21st at 21:30 to 22 UT, on 11685 and 9585 via Wooferden, UK, 9870 via Ascension, and perhaps even 7255 via the UAE. As many of us heard them testing those exactly 1 week before. Now from Antarctica for real LRA 36. We've not heard it lately, just below 15476 reduced carrier USB. And Manuel Menes in Spain says, it seems to be missing for the last 2 weeks, perhaps due to weather conditions. It was not heard during its scheduled times, 18 UT, Thursdays, June 6th and 13th, nor on Saturdays, June 8th and 15th. Then on the station's WhatsApp, he found this announcement translated, due to weather conditions, we will not be able to transmit our program until further notice. But that was soon followed by a further notice. We inform you that after the storm, the antenna has been damaged, and it's being repaired. We will be on the air again next Thursday, referring to June 20th. And Manuel Mendes adds, as far as I know, the new 10-kilowatt transmitter has not been installed yet, so the power should be between 300 and 600 watts. Asia non. According to Alakesh Gupta, Radio Free Asia DRM tests toward China were scheduled from 11 to 16 June at 21 to 22 UT on 11700, and they wanted reports, of course not revealing the transmitter site, leading to lots of speculation. Richard Langley passed on that news as he monitored most of these tests. So did Craig Christ in Virginia and Chris Mackerel in New Zealand, who's especially interested in DRM. Then from a reliable source, this transmitter site for this was very likely Wooferden, UK. And Ron Howard forwards a report from Hiroshi in Japan that the tests were in Chinese and reception there varied depending on the day. Walt Somniv has been visiting his remote receiving setup at Masset, BC on Haida Gwaii Island and reports Iqaluit Coast Guard Radio Canada on 6218.570, June 19th at 1318. A bit distorted. He got the tail end of the broadcast with an ID at sign-off. The nominal frequency is 6218.6. Canada non. Tony Pavick in Hope, BC says, I've arranged for a directional antenna test with Channel 292 with his program Pop Shop Radio at 22 UT, Sunday, 23 June, across Asia toward Australia on 9670. Should be a darkness path for the most part. Reports from Asia most welcome. Of course, that's transmitted from Germany. Lucio Ottavio Bobrovic in Brazil reports a new frequency for Chile's RCW, 7535, heard on the 14th of June at 2128 to 2142, with talk and music ads in Spanish, and parallel to 6925, its original frequency, but better on 7535. It was relaying of Radiograma, a news program which is available on YouTube. RCW explained, Radiograma is the name of Radio BioBio's main news program. It's the most listened to station in Chile. That's BIO-BIO. Chinese broadcasts keep showing up on unlisted frequencies. Tony Paddock was hearing an ID on 12100 between 1620 and 17 UT, June 17th. Seemed to be a radio drama, and he posted a recording. Mauno Rittel replied, there may be a Xinjiang Guangbo Jian Chitai ID twice. It could have been a jammer and or off frequency. Tony Pavic follows up, he got a reply on Twitter that it was CNR1 off frequency and not there the following day. In boggy western Florida, Terry Cougar reports a Cuban off frequency, 631 kHz. Radio Progreso is believed to be the station from Camagüey, June 9th at 0940. But for him, audio has been lacking. Also on 640.48, something unidentified, heading 640 stations, May 25th at 0835, previously reported by David Crawford in Florida. It's a spur coming out of 640 with 639.387 and 640.619 matching. Country and Western format, it may be a Florida station. Something's always wrong at Radio Havana, Cuba. Sometimes they're active in our evenings on 9700 with dead air or Spanish. However, on UT Thursday, June 20th, Tony Pavic in B.C. heard them in English at 0200. And Ron Trotto in Illinois was still hearing them at 0440 during the mailbag show in English with an excellent signal, probably better than the regular English frequency 6000. A DRM test from now in Germany on 6095 at 0830 UT led to these comments from Ken Zicke in Michigan. My impression is that the transmitter and design technicians that are involved in DRM have never actually listened to long-distance shortwave broadcast stations. If they had, they would know that selective fading and propagation destroy the phase relationships in the audio, and therefore defeat decoding at a high data rate. If they are using anything more than 16 QAM mode C, they are begging to have no audience. 64 QAM mode A just won't decode reliably on shortwave. I'm unclear why this is unknown by the experts. Bill Tilford replies, I'm inclined to believe that some of the entities behind DRM have a great deal of money to buy off bureaucrats around the world. How many of the billions of people supposedly reached by DRM actually have the radios or software required to listen to it? I'm no Luddite, but the longer this drags on, the more it resembles a racket to the naked eye. Even the Radio Marti was briefly beaming DRM to Cuba, a senseless waste of U.S. tax dollars, if there ever was one. And Ike Beervert in Alabama replies, note the bitter irony that the irregular, but officially registered in HFCC China outlets, are obviously DRM noise jammers for the Taiwanese stations RTI and Sound of Hope. The 6180 jammer in Fuzhou, that was already registered in HFCC and AM at 10 to 16 UT, apparently was not sufficient. He says, I guess DRM has finally found an actual purpose. On Asilomar State Beach, California, Ron Howard's further monitoring of RRI Nabiri, 7289.93. On June 16th, tuned in early to check if there was any signal, and there was at 0720 until 0930, but with lots of static. There was an Islamic segment from 855 to 905. And then on June 17th, tuned in at 0740 with a weak carrier, but was already gone by 747, a very early shutdown. The station has an incredibly wide range of closing times. Via Rusty X, we have a schedule of medium wave tests from Kaliningrad, an extraterritorial part of Russia bordering on the Baltic, from Radio Center No. 5 carrying the Radio Rusty program. The times for all of these are 14 to 15 UT only, but there may be additional times outside that interval. On Tuesdays, 100 kilowatts on 549. On Wednesdays, 150 kilowatts on 1143 kilohertz. and on Thursday 600 kilowatts on 549. They are trying to reach countries of Eastern and Northern Europe, Belarus, and the Baltic states. Von Herod reports, Chukuse or Sea Breeze, on June 14th at 13 UT, on 5920 parallel 5965. Interference on the latter, but 5920 in the clear, since the other clandestine, Voice of Freedom, was on its alternate frequency, 6045. That was on a Friday, so it was in Japanese, but it would have been in English on a Wednesday. Another clandestine from South to North Korea, but transmitted from Taiwan, National Unity Radio on 7340. Ron Howard reports that at 1239 UT, June 14th, Friday, with no jamming, but there was a weekday one-minute English lesson, as heard before in February. The quotation was, "Genius is nothing but a great capacity for patience," which is from Georges-Louis Leclerc Buffon, a French naturalist and mathematician. From the blog of Igor Kolka in Moscow via Rusty X. At the beginning of June, my collection of paper QSO cards was replenished with responses from KBS World Radio. And during a recent visit to Seoul, I was able to visit the office. The Russian service employees handed me QSO cards that had accumulated over a long time. I added to the collection a handmade postcard for a report dated December 17, 2023, a special card in honor of the 70th anniversary of KBS World Radio for listening on February 25th. A new QSO card for receiving their medium wave 1170 in Seoul. By the way, according to the latest data, KBS World Radio now sends mail to listeners no more than once a year. The new rules are related to the financial difficulties of the broadcaster. I have not heard the Kurdish-Turkish radio war lately, just above 11.5 megahertz. I guess it's a matter of seasonal propagation, but we have these reports from Wolfgang Bischel. They don't always manage to be on the same frequency, the jammer and the broadcast. For instance, on June 20th at 0740, President Erdogan's jammer was on 11540.009, while Denge Gel, the Kurdistan PKK station, was on 11544.994, almost 5 kilohertz apart. Denge Gel is now thought to be transmitted via Armenia instead of Uzbekistan. But the situation was different. On June 17th, they were both on almost the same frequency, 11520 at 0720. From Masset, B.C., Walt Salmony reports on the 212 megahertz frequencies of Voice of Mongolia, June 19th. At 1045, 12084.874 with strong reception, but modulation similar to Radio Cairo with muddy audio and a loud transmitter hum, easily seen on multiple frequencies on the waterfall, in Japanese. Otherwise, it would have produced armchair copy. Return to 1058 to hear a sign-off announcement mentioning Voice of Mongolia. Transmitter cut at 1100. Then from 1259 on the other frequency, 12014.873. The same buzzy transmitter at a strong level and a characteristic off frequency, almost by the same amount, in Japanese. And there was a digital interference just above the channel, just like there was on 12085, maybe related to Voice of Mongolia. New Zealand, Ron Howard reports on 6224 USB, Taupo Maritime Radio, that's T-A-U-P-O, June 14th from 1353 till off at 1418 with a variety of info, three-day weather forecasts, gale warnings, weather report for shipping, coastal navigational warnings, hazardous areas covered by rocket launchings, and it closed with an ID. He says daily, "I have good, very readable reception." And it's also reported from B.C. by Walt Samaniev, June 19th at 1350, very good reception, with machine-generated marine forecast. The accent is easier to follow compared to Australia's. Oh, and the call sign is ZLM. There were more reports the past week of Antichrist Pirate Station YHWH on 7475, generally between 03 and 04 UT, according to Eric Fetterswap in Washington and Rick Barton in Arizona. It's filed as usual under North America, just in case he's not transmitting from the U.S., KIMY 93.9 in Matonga, Oklahoma, was broadcasting dead air in stereo for 6 days, starting on June 12th. At least their RDS was still displaying the gospel station. A station so incompetent as to broadcast nothing for such a stretch deserves to have its license revoked, so something else can make better use of our spectrum. It is a relay station, probably with no one there, and once they found out about it, they would have to bring in a contract engineer from somewhere else to fix it. The media magazine you monitor with your mind. World of Radio, 2248. A non-commercial service, as is our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for generous financial support from Gerald T. Pollard in Raleigh, North Carolina, who sends a seasonal check to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702. One may also contribute via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO@yahoo.com. SAQ in Sweden celebrates 100 years on Alexanderson Day, June 30th. Thanks to Mike Terry for forwarding all about this special occasion. Mark your calendars for special very low frequency transmissions on CW 17.2 kHz. Should you actually be in Hamilton, Sweden, they welcome visitors for the occasion. It's always fun to watch this via YouTube, at least when we are awake later on. Almost 100 years ago, on December 1st, 1924, the transmitter at Hamilton Radio Station, SAQ, was put into commercial operation. Transmissions across the Atlantic to receiving stations on Long Island. Those are long gone, but SAQ has been preserved as a World Heritage Site and is still operational. Here's part of the schedule in Universal Time, June 30th. At 08:20, the live YouTube broadcast begins. At 8:30, startup of the alternator in the transmitter hall. A message is transmitted at 0900. Then there's some activities at the station. And then they begin again with a live YouTube broadcast at 11:20 UT, 11:30 starting up the alternator, and the transmission of a message at 12 UT. There may also be some test transmissions during shorter periods on June 28th between 11 and 14 UT. You may read all about it at their website, alexander.n.se. Ports for QSL are welcome if you actually pick them up on 17.2 kHz. Best sent via their online form rather than email, but the deadline is July 26th. There's also a ham radio station there, SK6SAQ, during the day with differing QSL instructions, some CW on frequencies ending in 17.2, what else, on the 40, 80, and 20 meter bands, but also SSB on 3755 and 7140. I continue to monitor the Voice of Turkey almost every day, the English broadcast at 22 UT, on 11785.009. Occasionally, they're totally missing. And on some days, they stay on the air past 23 UT in extra German, at least for part of the hour. Especially interesting is the Letterbox mailbag program on Sundays, and it's repeated one more time, UT Monday after 0300, on 7275 and 6165. WRMI has canceled another World of Radio broadcast, UT Thursday at 0130 on 9395. However, we remain at the same time on another frequency, 5010. On June 17th, Joe's Jacob in India says, Happy 30th anniversary to WRMI Radio Miami International, Florida, USA, and to Jeff White, founder and general manager. Many thanks for your broadcast, especially the DX program, Wavescan. On Saturdays and Sundays only, 9955 stays on the air later than other nights, including Spanish from 06 until 07. Last week I thought it was a Rye Argentina relay since there was news about Argentina, but this week on June 15th it was clearly Radio Francia Internacional. Yes, Radio France International still has Spanish programming, not on its own shortwave for many years. And this does appear on the WRMI schedule grid, except the time is 1 hour earlier than we've been hearing it, supposedly at 05 until 06. During the 06 UT hour, 9395 and 9455 are in parallel, both carrying the Supreme Master TV Environmental Cult. And at this time, they were introducing worldwide weather. But then we heard nothing but music. Obviously, there was video graphics only. It's not such a bright idea to put a TV soundtrack on radio without adapting. After 7 weeks of reruns, there was finally a new Alan and Angela Wiener Worldwide on WBCQ, UT Saturday, June 15th, at midnight, and they even reactivated 3265.16 variable as well as 7489.9 variable. It was mostly political, I hesitate to quote, but Uncle Bill Tilford observes, cringeworthy though their political commentary often is, it does appear to generate more email to the station and commentary than less inflammatory programs. I know I'm playing like a broken record, but U.S. listeners will ultimately be left with a program grid they deserve if they don't start showing more love to those programs still directly targeting them. I speak not on my own behalf, but for those who are still targeting the U.S., but contemplating hanging it up there. Remember these lines a year from now. Furthermore, we noticed that the transmitter dedicated to all asterisk RUMP all the time, 5130+, had been off the air since at least May 14th, but was back on the air by June 16th. But by June 19th and 20th, it was gone again. I've now heard from Glenn Tapley about WEWN being totally off the air. He says we have maintenance concerns and hope to perform the necessary corrections and be back on as soon as possible. Thanks for the inquiry. And that was as of June 18th. WMLK has also been having problems on 15150. On June 17th at 0428, there was an open carrier, dead air, for at least a quarter hour, probably much longer. I wonder, does a human being turn it on and never notice there's no modulation? Or is it all automated? Are you there? Wake up, operating engineer Gary A. McAvin, listed in the WRTH. Then the next night, June 18th at 0650, there was no signal at all. They must have decided to turn it off instead of dead air. But they were back on and even modulating on June 19th at 0645. There are huge variations in their strength as received here, depending on nighttime MUF fluctuations. I can always tell whether Radio Vanuatu is on the air or not when I check 7260 around 0630 UT, but it's never strong enough for easy listening to the content. Ron Howard, of course, in California hears it much better and also checks it every night. Well, they had been missing for 5 nights in a row, but were back on the air as of June 17th. That's after Ron Howard contacted the senior technical officer once again, Warren Robert, who replied to him, "We had an issue with a power cut, but it is okay now. Thank you for always listening to us. I will let our radio team know that they have a regular listener from the States." And his signature includes the street address of VBTC in Port Vila as Rue du Capitaine Blight, B-L-I-G-H-T. That appears to refer to Captain Bligh without a T of Mutiny on the Bounty fame. It seems his name is often misspelled or respelled when I searched on that spelling in links to Tahiti, etc. Anyhow, it's nice of the Vanuatuans to name a rue for him, or almost so. And Ron Howard reports some detailed logs of what he hears on Radio Vanuatu, such as on June 19th. At 6:31 to 6:35, there's the often heard but not daily public service messages in Bislama. Intro and exit with indigenous drums. At 6:57, a PSA for voting ID and commercial for the soft drink Splash and for Vanuatu Gas. At 0700 to 710 in Bislama, news, sports, and weather. Walt Somniv also hears this in BC. On June 19th at 9:20, excellent reception. Bislama talk about domestic violence and local vocal music, accompanied by guitar. The signal spreads across 18 kilohertz. A Radio Vanuatu ID at 0929, and Radio Vanuatu Voice of Unity at 931, drums at 0932. In the WRTH update via WWDXC, here's the schedule for English broadcasts of Voice of Vietnam. Power broadcast daily. I think the frequencies are likely to be slightly askew. On 9840 at 2330, 10, 1130, 1230, 1330, and 1500. On 12020 at 1130 and 1330. On 11885 and 9730 at 16, 19, and 2130. And on 7220 at 16 and 2030. Here is another DX nostalgia commentary by RFK in Shortwave Bulletin. In the golden days of radio, a hobby flourished that beckoned the adventurous and the curious. The art of DXing, or distant listening. Before the digital onslaught that would forever change the landscape of communication, the world was a vast, uncharted territory, navigable through the flick of a dial, the hum of a speaker, and the whir of an antenna spinning in the wind. The thrill of capturing a distant station was intoxicating. It was not merely the reception of sound, but a connection to the cultures and societies behind the waves. With each crackle and hiss came a portal to faraway realms, a virtual bridge that spanned the abyss of the world's vastest ocean. And to verify these conquests, the postman delivered the tangible rewards of QSL cards and letters confirming our reception. Then the dawn of a new age broke. Global communication, once the province of the airwaves, fell prey to the inexorable march of digital technology. The once vibrant tropical bands of shortwave have emptied, their former inhabitants now stealing through fiber optic cables and beaming from satellites. In this desolate aftermath, DXing endures, a cherished hobby for a faithful few. The whispers of other cultures that once filled the night are but a memory, a fading echo in the vast ambience of the ether. Yet in our hearts, the magic of DXing persists, a beacon of nostalgia, flickering like the faint signal of a distant station. Now only a tantalizing hint of what once was, but we still have our QSLs, a tangible asset, a piece of nostalgia to be cherished. With that, let's delve into some nostalgic memories of the past, as he introduces some illustrations of QSLs and pennants. First, a pennant from Radio Quillabamba in Peru on 5025. Bolivian Radio Difusoras Altiplano was said to be a black, non-verifying station for a long time, but in the early 1970s suddenly started responding with QSL cards. One comes from the collection of the late Ole Alm. A QSL card like Granddad used to make them. What joy when we found something like this in our letterboxes. On the back of the card, it says that Huancayo had 100,000 inhabitants, and the city was 3,260 meters above sea level. Radio Fana of Ethiopia was one of those shortwave stations still active, and now it seems to have settled on 6110. Jan Ed received a QSL in 1999. And a QSL folder, Bent Dalhammer received from Greenland Radio in 1956, when he heard it on 9526 kHz. They're still active on medium wave, and have returned to shortwave before, so who knows what will happen in the future. Those are the words in Shortwave Bulletin Sweden of RFK. Here's some more sort of nostalgia from SW Elling Post. LIGO's buildable retro radio actually plays music, thanks to a sound brick, set to be released on the 1st of June this year. It's the LIGO Icons 10334 retro radio. You can look it up on their website, LEGO.com. For the young ones, back before Spotify, iPods, and Walkman, we had to get our music through the radio waves. Played back on delightfully charming devices called radios. This is a 906-piece creation and comes with a sound brick to play pre-recorded sounds. And you can also slot your phone into it and turn it into your very own brick-built speaker to play music or your favorite podcasts. The propagation outlook from SWPC, ANKNC is peaking at 10 and 3 on June 23rd. Otherwise, 5 and 2 or 8 and 3 through July 13th. Solar flux peaking at 190 June 23rd and 24th, 195 by July 2nd, and down to 170 by July 11th. With many thanks to all our contributors and stations, hoping you'll hear me again next week, Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio 2248 with a standard disclaimer.